This is Convention Call with Todd Zwillig. Call us on 1-800-543-2543. That's 1-800-543-2543.
My friends, it is with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination for President of the United States. Our founders embraced the enduring truth that we are stronger together. Tonight, we've reached a milestone in our nation's march toward a more perfect union. I believe in science. We will pass a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. My primary mission as president will be to create more opportunity and more good jobs with rising wages. We should expand Social Security and protect a woman's right to make her own health care decision. Then join us. If you believe that your working mother, wife, sister, or daughter deserves equal pay, join us. If fighting for affordable child care and paid family leave is playing the woman card, then deal me in. The first time that a major party has nominated a woman for president. Let's build a better tomorrow for our beloved children and our beloved country.
Hillary Rodham Clinton on the stage at the Democratic National Convention accepting her party's nomination to be President of the United States. You just heard several of her flourishes from her acceptance speech tonight, delivered in prime time to a national audience of tens of millions of people. We'll find out soon how many people that is. We want your reactions to this night of political proceedings here in the Democratic Party, as we have every night. After the DNC is closed, the number to call is 800-543-2543. We do want to hear from you, get your take on everything that you've heard. You're the delegate now. The speeches have been made, and now the rest of this election is up to you. 800-543-2543. So we'll want to be hearing from you on convention call. Let's start with Mario in Jackson, New Jersey. Mario, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
Well, I'm undecided. I really enjoyed the speech. It was great to get to know Hillary and such. Her personal story is very inspiring and such. I really walked away knowing a lot more about her. I wish we knew about this a number of years ago and everything and such. I thought her speech was really well to talk about where the nation needs to go and continue to go and what road to go and such. The whole thing is her being that person doing so. You know, unfortunately, she still has those terrible character flaws, the WikiLeaks that just came out, her whole email debacle and everything, constantly denying that she got approval, when in reality, she didn't go through the proper channels, and nobody in America would have survived this if they'd done this in the private world. So I'm still undecided because I think Donald Trump is a wild card. He's still not a statesman. He doesn't seem like presidential material to me. But Hillary's got great ideas, and she's a great speaker, a great story and everything. But the ends don't justify the means. And just the number of scandals that she has, I think the country would be going through another 4 years of scandals probably, or that continuous baggage. So I'm still undecided, but it was great to hear more about her story and where she came
Mario,
from.
Mario, thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. And let's stay in New Jersey in Princeton. It's Beth in Princeton, New Jersey. Hi, Beth. What's on your mind?
Hi. I would just like to suggest that everyone send Donald Trump a copy of the Constitution, just as that awesome man who spoke so eloquently and so emotionally about losing his son in service to this country suggested.
Now, Beth, you're talking about Khazir Khan, the father of a deceased Muslim soldier, Humayun Khan, who came out on the stage with his wife and held up a copy of the Constitution.
That was such a touching moment and so perfect and so eloquent and so heartfelt. And I think Donald Trump should receive a million copies of the Constitution inspired by that man's speech.
Well, Beth, I can tell you that a lot of people in the hall, I was in on the floor of the convention for that speech, and there were a lot of tears when Khazir Khan gave that speech about his son and about his vision for the country. I want to thank you for your call. We have just a quick minute for Daniel in New Jersey. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. How's it going?
Go right ahead, just for a second.
All right. Okay, so I'm actually on my way back. My friend and I, we went to the convention from Long Island, so we're in New Jersey now. It's important to realize when you're watching that throughout the days, we're Sanders supporters. Throughout the days, Sanders supporters were denied credentials. So if you see at the end, it looks like the party is more unified now at the end. It's not the same people in the room. So it's just important to keep that in mind.
Daniel, thank you for that. And we're going to be giving that some attention, of course, in the rest of our discussion. You may have seen lots of fluorescent green shirts on the convention floor. Those were protest shirts from Sanders supporters feeling like they had been shut out of this convention. We're going to have more of your calls and more discussion at the DNC right after this very short break. This is Todd Zwillick, and this is Convention Call. Stay with us.
Conversation we started in the law library 45 years ago. It is still going strong.
One of the most tragic things that happened yesterday, a beautiful day, was that I was talking to a woman who said she wouldn't want to be me for anything in the world. She wouldn't want to live today and look ahead to what it is she sees because she's afraid. Fear is always with us, but we just don't have time for it. Not now.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world.
I think a lot of people have images that are in no way related to reality. I think that's another one of the dangers about being in public life.
For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on.
How did a nice Republican girl from Park Ridge go wrong? I mean, this is one of the great unanswered questions that we have to address.
Let it be that human rights are women's rights, and women's rights are human rights once and for all.
When I see Chelsea doing her homework, I think to myself, her life will be better because of what all of us are doing together.
Bill and I are closing one chapter of our lives, and soon we'll be starting a new one.
I am very optimistic about this election because I think I know a great leader when I see one.
Don't stop believing.
So does America.
Let's declare together in one voice, right here, right now, that Barack Obama is our candidate and he will be our president.
And so, my friends, it is with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination.
Hillary Clinton, through the years, a montage of familiar statements and moments, some of them unfamiliar to you probably, of Hillary Clinton throughout her political career, put together by our very able director, Jay Cowett, at The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is Convention Call live from the Democratic National Convention. You're hearing the sounds of delegates again streaming out of the venue here at the Wells Fargo Arena in South Philly. Just as you heard last night after President Obama's speech, they're coming out in throngs. They were on the floor of the convention. Some of them have confetti sticking off of them still, because it fell from the ceiling, as is American tradition, as strange as it is, at these events. I'm joined now by our guest for the rest of the hour, Montserrat Garibay, who's a Hillary superdelegate from Texas and a teacher. Montserrat, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's very good to have you. You're a Hillary supporter. You've got your Hillary T-shirt on. You've got to be feeling pretty good about what you've seen tonight.
I feel speechless and super excited and inspired. And I just don't have words to express how happy I am.
That's good to hear. find some words because we're on the radio.
So, yeah, I mean, I think as an immigrant, and I became a citizen 2 years ago, and for me to actually be here as a superdelegate and to represent my unions and to represent immigrants, it's a pretty astounding moment for me. And to be able to hear Hillary and to see that for the very first time there's a candidate, a woman candidate in the U.S. As a teacher, I always tell my students to believe in whatever they want to believe. And now I'm actually going to be able to say, hey, girls, there's a president. You can be that. And we always say, model the behavior that you want to see. And I'm going to be able to share that with them and to cherish that. And I think it's the 21st century. It's overdue. And I am just very, very happy and excited for this wonderful moment in America.
You can join us here at the convention, and you can join Montserrat Garibé from Texas in this very, very happy moment for her at 800-5432-543. Again, it's 800-5432-543. Montserrat, you and I met, I think, about a year ago in Washington, D.C., and you told me what it was like for you coming to Texas as an undocumented 13 or 14-year-old girl, if I remember, not speaking English,
right,
going to school with nobody who you knew, and sort of being alone here and being undocumented.
Correct. And, you know, I've always volunteered in the campaigns, and I knew about government and how do you elect and why that's important. And when I heard about Hillary, I was very excited to know that she's been a champion for early education. I'm a pre-K teacher, so that's been my passion. And to be able to hear all the stuff that she's done for children and healthcare, to me, it's about time to have someone that can actually just represents a woman taking the lead, and to be just the person that we need in these very hard moments where we need someone that is going to heal our country from so much hate. I think it's imperative that our children see someone that is going to represent where the American values are, respect, treating people with dignity. I think those are things that we really need, and I feel like she's a strong woman, and it's okay to be a strong woman. It's okay to stand up against the bullies. There are many bullies in our lives, and that's a great example for her to show us.
Montserrat, we're going to go to calls in just 1 second, but you've been a U.S. citizen for 2 years?
Yes.
Does that mean you're voting in your first election coming up?
Yes. No. So, no, it's my... I voted for Obama. I'm sorry. I voted for Obama this last time. So it's my second election voting.
Okay.
Yes.
This is your second
election. Second presidential election voting.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
So that's not new to you. Okay. We're going to your calls now on 800-543-2543. Julie has been waiting in San Francisco. Julie, it's good to hear from you. What do you think?
Sure. You know, I thought she was an eloquent speaker tonight. She has a lot of really nice things to say, but I'm so wary of a wolf in sheep's clothing. I just, you know, it's like she's not new to the political arena. She lied to the public about her private server in her home, which, you know, put our national security out on the line. I know a lot of her policies enabled ISIS to grow. You know, so there's a lot of things that show me that she may not be the right person to create a foundation for safety in America. I think everybody, like you and me, lock our doors at night. We put, you know, we lock our car doors, and yet we don't want to put much. So I can't really criticize Donald Trump for wanting to build a wall, whether it's a real wall or just like a, you know, some kind of, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. But
all right, Julie,
you know,
well, let's get Montserrat's reaction to what you're saying. Montserrat, Julie is undecided. She says that she understands the impulse or Donald Trump's policy preference to build a wall on the southern border.
So, you know, as you were talking, I thought about what Chelsea, her daughter, said, that Hillary had expected for her to be critical about everything that she would tell her, right? And I think we can we never know 100% that the candidates are going to do and say what they say. I think being the president, it's something that it's very hard. It's very complicated. But I think that we can hold her accountable. This is a good opportunity for us to actually test her. And if she's going to have a group of people that she's going to work. And if she doesn't work, then, you know, we can have those discussions and hold her accountable.
What do people in your community say about the proposal for the wall when they hear about it?
Look, having a wall, it's not going to help. It creates more people trying to pass the border, more deaths. So honestly, that's not going to help. My community feels very hurt, very scared when they hear xenophobic things that Donald Trump says about that I am a racist because I'm Mexican. I'm not a racist. Yes, not everybody's good people, but I think it's very important that Hillary is saying we're not going to build the wall, we're going to pass comprehensive immigration reform because the people that are here, most of the people that are here undocumented are here to work, and we have a great country because of the work that they put every single day in our communities.
That's Montserrat Garibay. She's from Texas. She's a Hillary superdelegate here at the convention, a teacher and a union leader in her community in Texas. What town are you from?
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas, of course. Let's go to your calls now again. Janet is in Cranford, New Jersey. Hi, Janet. Go right ahead.
I find it ironic that we keep hearing about people being scared and they are in favor of this wall when really what's scarier is putting somebody in office who has no experience. And I voted for my very first time when I was 18. I voted for Bill Clinton. And I have to admit, I was sort of on the fence this go-round. And I sat with my sister tonight in a hospital room with my brother, who is disabled, and he's on Medicaid, and we watched Hillary speak, and I said to myself, what am I doing? I mean, she is a fantastic, very qualified woman. She's strong. Yeah, you know, there's all kinds of controversy around her. Could you even imagine how much controversy is swirling around Donald Trump and all the deals he's made? And as a mother of two little girls and a working teacher, I'm also a teacher. I have a husband who's a first responder. I mean, what are we doing by not supporting this person? She is what this country needs. She's going to be a fantastic leader.
Janet, it sounds like you've been won over by the convention and by the speech that you heard tonight and the other speakers as well. Thanks for your call, Janet. Christopher is in Manhattan in New York. Hi, Christopher. Go right ahead.
Howdy. The self-importance and self-righteousness of the protesters on the floor of this convention tonight disgusted me beyond belief. I don't care if you dislike Hillary Clinton. I don't care if you don't like her policies. That's fine. Like, you look them up tomorrow if you don't want to listen to the speech, if you don't want to hear her quote-unquote lies. But to not understand the historic nature of this candidate, I don't care if it's a policy speech. This is the first woman nominated for a major party in the United States of America. I was crying while she was speaking, and I couldn't get past these people chanting Bernie, Bernie, or crooked, or anything like that. And I found myself so angry at their lack. This moment is bigger than Hillary Clinton. It's so historic.
All right, Christopher, thank you for the call, and I think we heard a lot of those protests throughout the convention. One of the things that's going to be interesting and key going forward is how many of the people who are dissatisfied with Hillary Clinton's nomination, either because of their distrust of her or because of her center-left, centrist history of politics, will be won over by the end of this campaign. There are some surveys out suggesting that a huge proportion, as much as 90% of Bernie Sanders' support, is accruing to Hillary Clinton. It's about what you'd expect. It's about what Barack Obama got after the bruising 2008 primary, when a lot of Hillary voters said they would never support him. So by November or by October, maybe even more importantly, we'll see how much of that support has cooled off and has accrued to Hillary. John is in Boston. Hi, John. What did you think of the speech tonight and the DNC?
Absolutely tremendous. I just cannot wait for the first debate. I wish it was tomorrow night. I wish it was tonight. I come away with this very strong feeling that she left us all with a sense of her depth her commitment, you know, to humanism and being, you know, the human condition. This is the complete antithesis of her, you know, her opponent. And there's so much substance there to deal with. And when you look at all that substance that she put forth tonight, all the policies and the details, it just highlights the fact that the other party just doesn't really have any details that, you know,
John, what is your vision? What is your vision when you think through?
There's not enough substance there on the other side, John? You know, and this is a big positive, I think, for us Democrats. So I'm really looking forward to the first debate.
John, thanks for your call. Let's go to Andrea, who's also in Manhattan. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. People who I like science might have been myself a geologist, but I ended up on Wall Street as a bank analyst. And she gets money from Monsanto, and whereas some of the previous callers were concerned about the activists on the floor, the dangerous science and the herbicides are something that it concerns me that she's just more new order, new world order, you know, pushed down from, you know, from the top, population reduction, and Monsanto's right there with all that sustainability stuff. So,
all right, Andrea, thanks for the call from Manhattan. We appreciate it. Mark is in Milford. Hi, Mark. What's your reaction to what you heard from the stage tonight?
Well, I just want to speak to the people that are still on the fence, undecided, and they have reservations because in their mind or whatever that Hillary's got this problem or she's got that problem, credibility issues, trustworthy issues. And really, you need to stop, check yourself. We're down to the wire. There's 3 months till the election. And there's really only two candidates that you have to pick from, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And it's just obvious that Donald Trump is an arrogant, loudmouth, bad-tempered guy. He doesn't have the composure or the character to be president of the United States. And I just don't understand how anybody could possibly, at this point, still be on the fence about which one of the two to vote for.
There Mark, I want to thank you for your call, and that's the exact decision that people are going to be processing over the next couple of months. And let's be honest, Hillary Clinton does have a lot of work to do. In the binary choice that you're talking about, she may come out ahead, but Hillary Clinton needs strong turnout in a lot of places from Democrats, including here in Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia. And Mark, I want to tell you that if she doesn't convince more Democrats that she's trustworthy, if she doesn't convince more liberals that she has heard the feel the burn call from the left, she could have more trouble than you think. She's going to need to do some convincing. This is Convention Call. I'm Todd Zwillick. We're taking more of your calls right after this very short break from this now very crowded concourse at the Wells Fargo Center in South Philly at the Democratic National Convention. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us.
They've had their say. Now it's time to have yours. This is Convention Call with Todd Zwillick. Call us on 1-800-543-2543. That's 1-800-543-2543. You're listening to Convention Call with Todd Zwillick from The Takeaway. Call us on 1-800-543-2543, tweet us at The Takeaway, and be part of the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/The Takeaway.
Our convention occurs at a moment of crisis.
America is stronger together.
I alone can fix it.
I alone can fix it.
I will restore law and order to our country.
Don't believe anyone who says, I alone can fix it.
We are going to build a great border wall.
We will not build a wall.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
A country where all our children can dream and those dreams are within reach. Where love trumps hate.
This is the legacy of Hillary Clinton. Death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness.
He's taken the Republican Party a long way, from morning in America to midnight in America.
There can be no prosperity without law and order.
Well, I will be a president for Democrats, Republicans, independents, for the struggling, the striving, the successful, for all those who vote for me and for those who don't. For all Americans together.
Convention call from the Democratic National Convention live in South Philly in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Todd Zwillick. You're back with us with your calls, with your impressions. You're the delegate now. We want your take on everything you've heard from these convention tonight and all this week. Now, that huge crowd you hear behind me, of course, throngs, clots, many, many thousands of delegates heading for the exits here. We are right in the concourse, right outside the convention floor. I'm telling you that some of these delegates still have busted balloons and confetti on them, so we're right in the mix here. And there are a lot of smiles on these faces, Montserrat Garibay. Montserrat is my guest. She's from Texas. She's a Hillary superdelegate. I'm going to tell you that she hasn't stopped smiling this entire broadcast, because Montserrat, I think you're feeling a huge historic moment here, there's no doubt.
Yes, I am. I am. I'm super happy. I can't even describe how excited, and I can't wait to see my students back home, and I can't wait to tell them like their dreams can actually come true and that they can be a president in the near future.
Montserrat, you're a superdelegate, and there have been lots of negotiations over the future of the superdelegate process, which has been controversial this entire primary, not just here at the convention. They haven't done anything about it yet, but there is going to be a 21-member commission that Sanders supporters and Sanders campaign members expect might reduce the number of superdelegates by at least or as much as two-thirds by the 2020 convention. How do you feel about that, being one yourself?
I think it's very unfortunate. And, you know, to be honest, I'm learning about the superdelegate process myself. And I think they're not very educated on how they get to choose the superdelegates. I was able to be part of a superdelegate because my union nominated me. It's not like we have a super PAC or we have a lot of money. No, it is because unions and nonprofit organizations are able to have superdelegates. Otherwise, how would a teacher be able to be part of this process?
Well, I think a big part of the criticism, though, is that the superdelegate structure can immunize the party from popular elections in the primaries, right? Even when Bernie Sanders was getting very close to Hillary in earned delegates, in pledged delegates, that superdelegate process was guaranteeing Hillary Clinton victory, even beyond what she had earned. I think that's the criticism.
I mean, and again, that's their point of view. I think I listened to I decided to choose and vote for Hillary was because I talked to a lot of the members in our union. I was part actually of when we screened the three, Bernie, Maloney, and Hillary. I was there. I asked some questions about immigration, and we talked about it. We had a big communication about, okay, what are the pros, what are the cons, what do they bring to the table. I felt comfortable saying I choose Hillary Clinton because I heard also from different people in our membership.
All right, let's go back to calls now. Paul is in New Jersey. Hi, Paul. Thanks for sticking with us past midnight. What's on your mind?
Just about the wall on the southern border. It's appropriate that she's from Texas because the question I have is that if you're against the wall in the southern borders between California and Texas, why did the Bernie followers have to be shut up from the convention center with a 12-foot wall around the convention center?
I'm not sure I follow, Paul. What's the correlation between them?
There's a 12-foot wall around the convention center that they protected the convention center people when the Bernie Sanders demonstrators, who were part of the Democratic Party, couldn't get near the convention center because of the wall. They had a wall around. And matter of fact, they made it even bigger on the second day of the convention.
Paul, I can tell you that this convention was full of pro-Bernie delegates and full of pro-Bernie protesters. So if there were some outside of the security perimeter that we all had to deal with here, there were many, many hundreds, if not more than 1,000 here in the convention center as well. Thanks for the call. Frank is in Brooklyn. Hi, Frank. Go right ahead.
Hello. I thought it was a very moving speech, and I don't know why all the problems with her emails. Everybody makes mistakes, but if you compare her with Trump, I don't believe that there even is a choice. The only problem, disappointment with her speech was she didn't give a little push to making the Congress Democratic. Vote down the line, make Mitch McConnell the minority leader again. She needs that to get her Supreme Court nominees passed.
Frank, it's possible that Democratic strategists may not think that Hillary talking about down ballot is an advantage for those people running. She may be in some districts and maybe not in others. But if you were able to watch earlier in the proceedings today, and I was on the floor, so I don't know how much of it was on your television, there was a lot of attention paid to Democratic Senate candidates in all the swing states. I'm not sure about congressional candidates. I don't think that the House is likely to go Democratic. But there were Democratic Senate candidates from Pennsylvania and other places as well, Ohio for sure, who were challenging Republicans. So even if you didn't hear it from Hillary, you definitely heard it from Democrats throughout the day. Ton is also in Brooklyn. Hi, Ton. Go right ahead.
I was a Bernie supporter. I am a Bernie supporter, and I'm now a Hillary supporter. And I would like to urge all Bernie supporters to vote for Hillary because she clearly they have united their platforms. She had plainly said, Bernie and I will work on X, Y, and Z. Student debt relief, climate change, free college. Every single issue that Bernie has been championing, let's give her a chance. And I think this is her moment to build her legacy. She's going to do the right thing.
So, Ton, Hillary said during that speech to all the Bernie supporters, I have heard you. You feel heard.
Right. And I was waiting for the specific issues that Bernie clearly has negotiated with her. And I think that they have united the platform. She said more than once. Towards the end, I was waiting for that. Bernie and I will work. Okay, for she mentioned issue by issue. Bernie's student debt relief, free college, climate change, point by point. So I really think that all the accusations of big money, ties to big money and all that. I think this is her chance to return to the roots, her roots, which was, her service to her country. And I think this is her moment to build her legacy. Therefore,
Ton, let me stop you right there. Thanks for the call, because we want to move on to Steve from Weehawken, who has another view of Bernie supporters like him in the Democratic Party. Steve, go ahead.
It's the perfect time for any Americans or any Bernie Sanders supporters to get together. If you've been fed up for the last 2 weeks of either party's nonsense the last 2 weeks, it's the perfect time to go out and form a legitimate third political party.
You think this is the time, Steve?
It's right. You talk to people over the last 2 weeks who watch both political conventions, and you just see the eye rolling and the, I don't want to discuss it. It's too upsetting. It is the exact time for Bernie Sanders people to get together with other Republicans, Libertarians, Democrats, whatever they want. Go get a third political party. Get it on the books. Maybe by 2020, you'll see what happens.
Steve, thanks for the call from Weehawken. We appreciate it. Dolores is in New Jersey. Hi, Dolores. How do you feel about Hillary's candidacy now?
More dominantly against it than I was before. I listened to her talk in Chelsea's because I was hoping to find some better points that I could perhaps be persuaded. Chelsea's talk was beautiful. It was a beautiful tribute to her mother, and I would certainly vote for Hillary for Grandmother of the Year, but not for president. And Hillary's talk, most of what she said just made me more firm in my beliefs that she's not the person that should be leading our country.
Well, Dolores, here's the second question then. Let me have you answer this one. What about Donald Trump as president? Because voting against Hillary means you'll turn somewhere else, I assume.
Of course, because I've always voted for president. And at this point, I would vote for just about anybody other than Hillary, including Donald Trump. I think that many of his views are, if not exactly in line with mine, much more closely than Hillary's are.
Dolores, thanks for the call from New Jersey. David is in Midwood. Hi, David. Your reaction?
Yes, I was very
impressed with Hillary's speech. She got off to, I think, a slow start because she used a lot of cliches in the beginning, but she got better. But what's really most disturbing about Trump, I don't know if it came out yet, but there was a report that his reaction to the Democratic convention was like any typical bully was saying, I would like to hit, you know, physically hit the Democratic speakers that to make their head spin and that they shouldn't recover. Now, this is supposed to be our next president. I mean, that's frightening.
David, thanks for the call from Midwood. Lance is in Manhattan listening on our home station of WNYC 93.9 FM. Hi, Lance.
Hi, I was listening to the convention on WNYC, as everyone should, so I didn't see it. But did I hear you correctly before? Did you say that they kept some of the Bernie delegates out of the hall tonight?
No. One of our callers thought that Bernie supporters were kept out of the hall, but credentialed delegates were in the hall, and you heard them protesting throughout the week.
Well, I was very upset that I was hoping, especially in the last week, there was more news about Israel building more settlements. I was hoping that Hillary would talk about Israel and Palestine, and I was hoping that she would apologize to the Palestinians for never in any way recognizing their humanity or their plight over the years. And I wish she would apologize for supporting Israel, supporting an apartheid situation there. I think it's just outrageous that America is helping Israel treat the Palestinians like jerks. We're supposed to be against slavery. We're supposed to be against apartheid. Why is it so forbidden for anyone to talk about the Palestinians? And Hillary has a lot of apologizing to do.
Lance, thanks for the call from Manhattan, listening on WNYC. Palestinian rights are in the Democratic platform. If you go back and read it, you might want Hillary to give more voice to that. But Democrats, I don't know if you are one, Lance, might have something to point to if they want to hear Hillary Clinton talk about that more. Janice is on the left coast in Oakland. Hi, Janice.
Hi, I'm a Bernie supporter, and I was also a worker for him. Tonight, I was moved by Clinton's speech. I think she addressed everything that Trump, it just shows how bad he is. And I think, you know, we have to vote for Hillary. But Bernie people have to stay mobilized. We have to be continually on her when she becomes president. We have to vote for other Democrats so that the House and the Senate and the judicial are representing our voices. And there's a lot of us. Bernie shows that we can take money out of politics.
Janice, a lot of delegates who I talked to here this week said that their primary concern now is to go back home and foster down-ballot candidates for city council, for county council, for state rep and senator, for Congress, that the presidential race, as far as they're concerned, the primary, is over for now, but they want to have Bernie-like influence all throughout politics at those lower levels.
I agree totally.
Well, Janice, maybe they're coming to your town in Oakland. I suspect that they probably definitely are. Chris is in New York City. Hey, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm calling from New York. I've never voted in my life. I'm neither Republican nor Democrat. I did attend the same school as Donald Trump. I grew up admiring the guy, admiring his business acumen. I live in a city where his name is plastered all over the building. So I have a very natural intuition and likeness to kind of be drawn to the Trump name. But to me, to be the commander-in-chief and chief executive of a country is a job, and like any job, you need to have the proper qualifications. I do not believe Donald Trump has the temperament, the judgment, the experience to lead this country. His style and his judgment is at best questionable. And I cannot imagine a world where Donald Trump is leading America and claiming to make this country great again.
Chris, thanks for the call from New York. Montserrat, you've been nodding your head while he was talking.
Yeah, you know, I think we need someone that is going to sit people in the table and it's going to work in bipartisanship. And, you know, all the crazy things that happen at the Republican convention, and just to hear him time and time and again just being negative and making fun of people. Look, we're living in very difficult times, and I think Hillary, throughout the week, the supporters, the people that spoke about her bold leadership is about let's sit down on the table, let's talk about it, it's not gonna be easy, but she's willing to reach to the other side of the aisle and have a conversation and maybe come up with some really good ideas. And I feel that that's what our country needs, and you know, we need her to change the path of our country.
We've heard from a lot of Latino activists throughout the week, Montserrat, who were disappointed, some of them very angry, after all of the hype and anticipation that Hillary might choose a Latino running mate, whether it's
Castro
or the Labor Secretary Tom Perez, or even perhaps Javier Becerra, the congressman from California, who most people may not know well, but he's well known in Congress, that she instead went with Tim Kaine, who does speak Spanish. But have you heard from colleagues, other delegates, or other supporters who may be Latino, a very important voting bloc, that they were disappointed about that?
You know, I think I heard from both sides. Some people were extremely excited that he spoke Spanish. Look, I'll be very honest. I need to have someone as the vice president that it's going to advocate for everyone. And yes, it would be wonderful if they speak Spanish, but we're not there yet. We need to create a pipeline of strong leaders that speak in Spanish that can go and do the work that needs to be done. But I'm not going to vote for someone just because they have a Latino surname. I want to make sure that we have the most qualified person. And, you know, I think she made the best choice that she decided. To me, having someone that speaks Spanish is not as important as the qualifications. We live in a really hard time and we need the best person qualified. So, yes, I've heard from both sides. Well, you know, Julian Castro doesn't speak Spanish, but he might be good. Well, I'll be honest. I think that he would be really good. He needs more experience, and I'd be more than glad to be supporting him when he gets there.
And you're saying this even from Texas, where he's from San Antonio.
I mean, I think he's great. He's done great things, but you need someone there that has a lot of qualifications, and I love Julian Castro and the stuff that he's done, and Joaquin too. It's great, but I really feel that the choice is the choice that needed to be done. And he does speak Spanish. Kaine speaks Spanish. He actually has been in Central America. He's done work with the community there, and I think that speaks volumes of that.
Montserrat Garibé is a teacher and a union leader in Austin, Texas. She's also a pro-Hillary superdelegate here at the convention. You were a pro-Hillary delegate at this convention, because this convention's done. They've dropped the gavel and all the delegates are still walking out here. We're on sort of the late shift, but this convention is officially over.
Yes.
So I appreciate you spending the rest of this time with me. Let's go back to your calls. Danny is in Yonkers. Hi, Danny. Go right ahead.
How you doing? I can't believe there's so many Hillary supporters. I have not heard one Hillary supporter say, yes, there was so much put against Bernie supporters and by Bernie, against Bernie himself and the whole primaries. Period. There's proof, and they call it conspiracy. They call it rumors. It's the truth. Whether you believe it or not, hackers found the information. There's voicemails. ABC even published it. So a large company like that will not just publish something they think is the truth. They publish the truth. For that many people to say, oh, to go vote for Hillary now, you just smack me in the face and tell me afterwards to vote for that same person? No, I'm not going to. She panders with Pokemon Go, which is very popular with the younger generation. And she pandered with hot sauce. She panders with anything she can find, she will pander with. They even sat there and used the Latino, speaking Latino yesterday, Tim Kaine, as something to use against it, you know, to help Latino voters to vote for them. No, that's not something what you should be doing. You should be talking the truth and talking to people to their hearts and actually have a reason to. There's no way.
All right, Danny, let me stop you there, because I appreciate your call and we want to make sure we get to a whole bunch more before the end of this segment. Ryan is in New Mexico. Hi, Ryan. great to have you.
Hello. Yeah, I thought the speech was fantastic. It far exceeded my expectations of actually a hard act to follow after Obama. I was listening to your show, and I'm just so upset because, you know, I thought, you know, she really reached out to a lot of people, especially that Bernie sect of people, and the people who call in, and they're like, I'm going to vote for Trump because I can't just vote for her. Or they're like, I'm, you know, they're looking for a third party because they're making this protest vote. But there are people in this country who don't have the privilege to just, you know, give their vote to someone else. I'm a gay man, and, you know, the LGBTQ community aside, you know, there are Black people, Latinos, like so many people who are fearful of the hate that's going to come if this man wins. And I think that these protest votes and these Bernie or bust movements, they're not helpful. And I don't it blows my mind. I just have to call and voice
Ryan, I want to thank you for that. And I appreciate it. I want to thank you for that call. And you sort of put a point on what a lot of Democrats who maybe aren't very supportive of Hillary have been feeling during this election and during this past week, which is even if they haven't come to terms with a vote for Hillary Clinton, they're struggling in their mind with what it means to give a vote either actively or tacitly to Donald Trump, which would be far worse for many of them. Let's go to Denise in Manhattan in New York. Denise, go ahead.
Yes. Yes, hello. Yes, I've been a strong Bernie Sanders supporter, completely all for all of his platform. I'm so happy now that Hillary is adopting that, is working with him. I think she has the character, the experience as former Secretary of State, and also nationally, all the work she's done with kids. And I think that especially her position against Citizens United is essential to something I care about. Also, a number of issue or defending Palestinian rights and the democratic platform. I think Trump is a risky loose wire. I think she's unbalanced.
Denise, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. Montserrat, was there a strong Bernie contingent in the Texas delegation?
We had a few, but I think as the week, the first day was really different and hard, I think, for many of the delegates. We actually had Bernie come to our Texas breakfast on yesterday, and he gave a really good speech, and I feel like, not everybody's 100%, but I think for the most part, the delegates feel like this is the only choice that we have, and that we're really gonna work together. I think one of the callers said about the platform. I think that's one of the great things that the Bernie people did and the Bernie Sanders did, that they created a lot of change in that platform. That platform. I was speaking with Leticia Van de Pute, that she was part of the committee, and she was like, you know, we actually, at the beginning, it was really hard to work with the Bernie supporters, but as the process ended for the platforms, we actually worked really well together. And, you know, I think it's a great thing. Yes, Bernie's not the candidate, but he did a lot of change. His political, what is it called? How is it called?
The capital, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really changed. It changed that dynamic. And I think people need time to heal. And we just need to talk to people about why it's important to vote and why we need to make sure that Hillary is the candidate. And with those conversations, I feel that people are going to move and they're gonna come and perhaps block walk and phone bank for Hillary. I'm telling you, I'm calling everybody that I know, and I'm going to ask them
Well, you're already on board. They're not worried about you, but you're going to make calls for her. And, you know, there were two themes to this convention this week. One of them, building trust, restoring trust and building trust among Democrats or wavering Democrats for Hillary Clinton because she's hurting there. Her approval ratings are underwater, meaning her disapproval is higher than her approval right now. Not a healthy state when you're running for president. And the second one, unity. Getting all those Bernie supporters, or as many of them as you can, to realize that they have gotten some changes in the platform, that Bernie has won concessions, the party has moved to the left, and now is in a position where they will have to be held accountable to progressives and Bernie supporters. So those were the two themes, really, I think, of this entire week of this convention. Let's go to Lorraine, who's in Manhattan. Hi, Lorraine. Go right ahead.
I wanted to say that last night and even tonight, what I heard was that the speakers, from Obama on down to the Reverend, were trying to lift Hillary over with love and create a kind of a support raft like whales do when there's a sick whale, and just lift the her over to the position she needs to be in. And even Hillary herself expressed so much love that she had for things and for people that made her get things done. I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful expression of the person who we're going to have as the next president. She's the only one.
Lorraine, thanks for the call, and I think that Democrats and the Hillary campaign would probably appreciate your assessment of how supportive it was, the sick whale analogy. Maybe they wouldn't like it so much, although it may be entirely accurate. I'm not criticizing it. Montserrat, you're kind of shrugging a little bit.
Well, you know, I think when you're a strong woman with a strong character, and you don't smile a lot, and you are just, hey, let's get to the point, what is it that we need? You know, people don't look at you as that caring and loving person, but I felt like Chelsea really painted this picture of Hillary, of a mother. At the end of the day, she's a mother, she's caring, she's loving in her own ways. And I think that was very important for us to hear that, because we've seen this woman making very tough decisions as a Secretary of State, and we need that. We need more of that. We need more people to know the stuff that she's done in early childhood and in healthcare for children.
That's Montserrat Garibay, my guest on Convention Call tonight, our very last show of these two conventions. I want to thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Convention Call, and I want to take a moment and thank all of our producers and directors and support, Amber Hall, Ellen Frankman, Jason Isaac, Sam Anderson, Eliza Lambert, Berkeley Wilson, Rupert Allman, our fearless boss, and everyone behind the scenes, especially Jake Howitt, our director, TJ Raphael, our social media director. Thanks for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This has been Convention Call on The Takeaway. Thanks for joining us.
It is with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.